Yeah, I appreciate what Brother Jamie, something that he said early in his prayer about we would focus on what we have here in these few minutes of opportunity to worship. You know, a lot of distractions, you know. Pray the Lord will be with us, bless our time together this morning. Take care, Brother Laszlo. Appreciate you making the effort to be out so far. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Brother Laszlo had told me that he might not be able to stay long, but he wanted to try. I appreciate that. And so pray that he'll be in our prayers the coming week. Luke chapter 18. In case you haven't noticed, we're living in an increasingly ungodly, increasingly faithless society. Anybody surprised? Okay, so we don't have our head buried in the sand. We know what's going on in the world. Well, there's a lot of things we don't really know, but we can see our culture and the need, the tremendous need that we have for godliness in high places. You read your Old Testament, you'll find when the people had a good king, a king that was looking to the Lord, a king that was following the word of the Lord, a king that was dealing in fairness and equity and righteousness, and the nation prospered. Because the people, there was a desire to follow in that way. But when that's not the case, there was trouble. There was trouble. Now, we can't change what we've got in high places. But God can. If you've read in the book of Daniel recently, you know that Daniel, in part of his prayer to God, when he realized that the 70 years of captivity was about up, he acknowledged that it was God that who took down kings, and it's God who setteth up kings according to his will. And that's where we need to be, is praying for God's will to be done. It just might be that what we're facing is to cause us to realize our dependence upon the Lord. It may be to cause us to realize how much we need the Lord. And I would that we could see a tremendous amount of repentance going on among the people of this nation. I'm thankful that we have a lot of good folks. I'm thankful we've got a lot of godly folks still among us. I'm thankful for that. But we continue to have a need for godliness and for God's people to stand up and live according to the way the scriptures teach us. Now, hope you found Luke 18 by now. I want to read the first 8 verses just to give you this parable. This is a parable. Some of the parables in scripture, we may be scratching our head as to what they're teaching. But we don't have to with this one. There's no reason whatsoever for us to wonder what he's teaching in this parable, because he plainly tells us why he's going to give it to us. How about that? You know, there's some other passages I wish he'd have told us, this is why I'm giving this passage, so I might understand it better. All right, but Luke 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Have you ever given up on praying? Have you ever given up on the Lord? Nothing wrong with the Lord. The problem is here. Okay? So he tells us, this is why he gave us the parable. There's a natural phenomena here that he's going to express to us that expresses a spiritual principle that we need to follow. Okay? Men ought to always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Pause right there. The Lord says he bears long with them. It didn't say he's ignoring them. It didn't say he was denying them, but he's bearing long when we pray and we pray and we pray, but we don't seem to have the answer we're looking for. God has a purpose. He's bearing long. Pay attention to that. God doesn't answer according to the way this unjust judge. This unjust judge answered for his own convenience. He wanted to be rid of this woman that was troubling him. God doesn't answer prayer. You're never going to get an answer to prayer like that. Okay? But understand that there are times when God bears long with us before we receive the answer we're looking for. Well, preacher, why would he do that? Well, just maybe you wouldn't appreciate the answer if he gave it to you right now. There may be some growing that you need to do. There may be some things that you need to settle in your mind and in your heart and in your life before you could appreciate the answer to that prayer. Amen. It's possible that it's just not in the will of God. So, are we willing to say, Lord, thy will be done, not mine? Until we're willing to be there, to say, Lord, whatever we're asking, when we end up our asking, we should say, thy will be done, Lord, not mine. Until we're there, don't expect an answer. God answers according to his time and in his way. And if you don't like that, remember, he answers what is absolutely best for you. I don't like to wait. I want it now. That's the culture we live in. How is it affecting us? Are we in that culture? Or are we willing to say, thy will, not mine? The people of God who are humbly seeking and serving him are willing to say, thy will be done. You see, the first requirement for discipleship is to deny self. Well, I don't like that. Sorry, you don't get to make the rules. You see, there's so many people in the world today that worships the God that they want instead of the God that he is. That's why there's so many churches. You can find one that suits you so that you can go worship you instead of worshiping the holy, holy, holy God of heaven, who has told us his will and who has sent his Son into this world to suffer and die to redeem his people from their sins, because he loves us, because someday he wants us to be with him in glory forever. And so the glory of what he has prepared for us, as Paul said in Romans 8:18, for I reckon, and he's not using a slang expression, that word means that he's counted it all up, and here's the conclusion. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. The best is yet to come. And so as we make our way in this world, there are things that we desire, and there are things that we need. Well, God knows our needs. He knows them better than we do. And he knows what's good for us better than we do. And so we continue. If we don't feel like we've had an answer to prayer, it's not a matter of giving up. It's a matter of getting closer to the Lord. You see, the book of James tells us, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to you. And so as we think about this idea that he's put forth for us about praying, and sometimes God doesn't answer prayers right away, and how that we should continue and continue and continue to pray without ceasing. And there's five or six places that directly speak to this issue of how we're to continue to pray and not to faint. When we faint and give up, what we're saying is, I didn't get what I wanted. Ouch. Okay, but when we continue to pray and ask the Lord for his will to be done, then eventually our will be conformed to his will, and then what we receive is far better, perhaps, than what we even asked for. Now, do you believe that? Because, you know, the culture in which we live, we want instant gratification. We want what we want. We have such a consumer mentality that we've got ways that we can search and search and search and search and find the very best thing, or the thing that just suits our taste to the max. And to a great degree, we've got the means to purchase it. We are satisfied with the way this life is going so many times. And that kind of continual shaping of our mind conforms us to the world instead of transforms us to see the Lord as he is and as we should be before him. So, if I continue reading now, after we understood the parable and heard what the Lord had to say, He said, hear what the unjust said, judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now, that sounds like a contrast between having to continue to pray and wait and the Lord bearing long. For Jesus to say that he's going to avenge them speedily, but what he's saying is when it's time, it's going to happen just like that. God can take care of the situation in the way he wants to, when he wants to, for his own glory. He can do it speedily. All right? There's no problem. There's no hesitation. There's no struggle. There's no delay. There's nothing hinders God from doing his will. All right? Okay, so he will avenge them speedily. But here's what I want to spend the rest of the time on. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What's he saying? He's exhorting us to continue to pray, 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 pray. And some are not going to do that. Some are going to give up. Some are going to look for something else to satisfy them. Some are going to turn away from righteousness. Some are going to loosen their grip on their dependence on God. Don't we see that rampantly in our culture today? But he says, nevertheless, viewing that may be the case with many. You shouldn't be that way, but it's going to be the case with many. Matthew 24, Jesus said, because iniquity doth abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Oh, there's so much iniquity, so much filth in the world today. It's drawing so many away to the things of this world. Nevertheless, Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, and that's not always, when you find the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not always talking about at the end of time. We stand before the judgment seat of Christ every day. All right? So, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith? Shall he find those that are being faithful? Shall he find them witnessing to the truth of this word by living it and by being the example that our children need to see as they come along? Shall he find faith on the earth? I'm satisfied from the teachings of Scripture that God is going to be worshipped somewhere. Till the end of time. Churches are flourishing right now in the Philippines, in India, and in Africa, probably some other places. While here in America, so many people say, well, ho-hum, I've heard this all before. And there are people that are walking, you know, we've heard those accounts, faithful accounts, brethren among us that have gone over there and ministered to the new churches that were seeking these truths that we preach. People that are willing to climb mountains, barefooted, walk for miles, sit on a split log, yeah, and listen to his preaching as long as they can. There's been groups of our ministers that's gone over there, and be five or six of them, and they want to hear every one of them. Every service. They'll sit there as long as they want to. One brother was just absolutely given out from all the traveling that they had been doing for several days, and he hadn't preached, and he was the last one, and they asked him to preach, and he just didn't have the strength. And when he tried, his words was just confused. Where are you going to find a place like that here? That they are so hungry for the Word of God and to know what God's Word says. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The Scriptures speak of faith in a number of ways. And I want to cover some of those ways this morning. Faith, first of all, I want to notice Galatians 2:20. This is a different kind of faith. This is not your faith. This is the faith of Christ. Galatians 2:20. I'm going to turn to it because I want to make sure I get it, read it right and stay there for a second. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Is he in you? Is he living in you? Then you should be able to relate to what Paul is saying here. That's my point. Make this personal. Okay? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. We're not talking about the fleshly desires of the heart. We're talking about this body. The life that I now live in this body of flesh, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This speaks of what he has done for us. He says, I live the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how we live. That's how we will live with in glory, is because he. Now, when it speaks about the faith of the Son of God, what we're talking about here is that he is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is the one who is the embodiment of the will of God, and faith was not given to him by measure. He is the manifestation of it. Everything that he said, everything that he did, every way that he reacted to those evil ones around him manifested the truth of God, of who God is, the love God has, the mercy God has, the long suffering that God has, the truth that is in him. And he came to do the will of the Father. Remember John 6? You probably know it by heart just from me quoting it from the pulpit. He said, I came, John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will. You hear that? Jesus didn't come to do his own will. He always did the will of the Father. That's a clue for us, by the way. Okay. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. You see, our eternal security is in what Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. I can lie down at night and rest. Because I have the love of God in me, I have the desire to do that which is pleasing unto the Lord. Those are evidences and assurances to me that he is my Savior. And I can rejoice in what he has done. And I can rejoice in his truth. And I can stand for his truth. And I know that I have his help to stand for his truth. So the life that I now live in the flesh, Paul said, Galatians 2:20, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our eternal life was secured. Our eternal security was secured by Jesus' blood upon the cross and his resurrection. When he died for us. When he rose for us. Because he's the propitiation for our sins. He was our substitute to die in our room instead. Now, that faith is his. That faith is perfect. That faith is manifested in such a perfect way that everything about it manifests God himself. That's why in John 14, when Philip said, show us the Father, and it sufficeth me. And Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and have you not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Because everything was in pure harmony with the Father. About Jesus. It bothers me when I hear people making him too human and thinking that he did this and did that. And no, he said, I do always those things which please him. He never came short at anything. His whole life, his whole purpose was to do the will of the Father. He was not given to the vanities of this world like we are. So that's the faith of Christ. And that's the faith that he gives us within us to help us live this life. Okay? All right, so first of all, that faith. Now, there are other passages we get into now where it speaks of faith as a gift. It's his gift to us because he lives in us. He died for us. Then he gives us in the new birth. He gives us his love and he gives us faith. Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, I could keep going, but I'll stop right there. All right, faith is what part of what's given to us in the new birth. Why? To use it. To use it. That's the whole purpose of it. So that we can look like him. So that we can sound like him. So that we can act like him. So that we can live our lives like him. Isn't that what he says? If any man will come after me, which means if any man will be like me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He gives us that faith which enables us, that new birth and regeneration gives us those spiritual faculties we need to hear and respond to the Word of God. Without the new birth, we're dead spiritually. Okay? Elder Jeff Winfrey, you know, he likes to say the dead don't do. And there's a simple principle. Life precedes action. Right? Unless we have life, we don't do anything. We can't do anything. Okay? Well, there's the natural man, there's the spiritual man. And you can't have a spiritual man until that natural man is born of the Spirit of God. That's why it's called born again. Okay? Because there's the natural man, and then when he's born, when God gives us his spirit, we are born again, and then we have a spiritual man. And that spiritual man, having the Spirit, can then bear fruit of the Spirit. I think we've been talking about that some here lately, haven't we? All right, that spiritual, that born-again person can then bear spiritual fruit. Well, guess what one of those fruit is? Faith. Faith. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's fruit of his Spirit. He's the one that died and saved us. He's the one that shed his precious blood, redeemed us from our sins, and he gives us of his Spirit. Now, I wish he'd take care of that old man when he does that, but he hasn't. But he will. When he comes at the end of time, he will change us and fashion us like unto his glorious body. But right now, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so when he gives us spiritual life, he gives it to us so that we can use it for his glory. Use it so that we can show whose child we really are. So that we can use it for the benefit of not only ourselves, but those around us. All right? So faith is spoken of in scriptures at times as a fruit of the Spirit. When you see somebody doing things out in public and you can see that there's the love of Christ in them and they want to do something that'll be a blessing to somebody else, that's spiritual fruit. That's love in action. That's love that's being manifested. You know, it's one thing to have a loving feeling about something, but it's another thing to have love to one another, right? And when there's love one to another, it's because the action has been taken and it's been manifested. All right. So faith, sometimes the scripture speaks of the faith of Christ. Now, that's one thing, by the way, some of these newer versions of the Bible have replaced faith of Christ with faith in Christ. And they put it back on the man. But it's the faith of Christ that enables us to be faithful and to bear spiritual fruit. All right. So we have to be careful about that. So when we find that faith is spoken of, first of all, the faith of Christ, that's what saved us. Then we find that faith is a gift and that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. And the reason that we have that is so that we can use it to bear fruit to his glory. Then we also find the scriptures speak about God being faithful. All right? I know some folks say, well, God didn't need faith. Well, it says he's faithful, which simply means he can't change. That's who he is, and he can't change. He's always going to be the same as he is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me read one of the passages that speaks of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What does he mean by the faithfulness of God there? The calling was God's faithfulness. In other words, we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, but in time, sometime during our lifetime, sometime between our conception and the time when we breathe out our last, he's going to send his spirit into our heart, enabling us to cry, Abba, Father. We'll then have spiritual life. God is faithful to do that because he loves us. He loves us more than we can ever imagine. More than we can ever imagine. So God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So he's faithful in that. All right? The important thing for us to see in that, coming back to the parable, he says, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, God is going to still be faithful. No matter what we're having to face in this life, God is going to continue to be faithful. There's no reason for you to give up on God. He's faithful, and he always will be. And so, if we have our prayers that we're taking to him and we don't feel like they've been answered, keep praying, be faithful, trust, serve, look to him. He will answer in his good time with the answer that's best for you. God will be faithful. He is faithful. He always will be, always has been, because he can't change. I think that'll be sufficient for that point. Scriptures also speak of faith as the faith. Let's go to Jude. It's probably the most familiar use of that. It's also in the book of Acts, Jude chapter. I like to say of Jude, you find the chapter and I'll tell you which verse. Jude. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. How much time have we spent in this past week, past month, past year, earnestly contending for the faith? That is, standing for what's right. Making a choice based on what's right and maybe not what we would like. Earnestly contend. This is what we're exhorted as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're exhorted to stand for the principles of righteousness. We're to stand for the faith. All right? That is this body of truth. This body of truth. This, in our articles of faith, we say that that is our only rule of faith and practice. Okay? This tells us how we should live. You know, there is an absolute standard of truth. There is an absolute standard of truth. A lot of people nowadays, they want to make their own truth. They want to sign up for whatever they think is the truth. This is the truth. And we should earnestly contend. We should, now, I'm not saying paint you up a sign and go out on the street corner and try to convince everybody, all right? What I'm saying is, settle in our hearts what is the truth and live according to it. When we're faced with decisions, base it upon what would be pleasing to the Lord, first and foremost. See, that's what's lacking so terribly in our culture today. This word is not being adhered to. And hasn't that been God's word all along? All through the Bible. What do you mean, preacher? All right, God gave Adam and Eve one commandment. And he said, if you'll keep this, you'll live. All right, I gave you that modern, another version of it. But he said, of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou mayest not eat, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. If you keep my word, you will live. You know, I just believe if they had kept his word, they would still be alive. Because that's what God said. But they didn't. And they died. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, they didn't fall over dead as if they'd eaten a poison apple. But death entered in. Death is a separation. They fell out of fellowship with God. God said this do. They fell into disobedience, which is sin. You know, Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It separated man from God. And everybody that was born of Adam after that, and that gets all of us, doesn't it? Everybody born of Adam after that was under that condemnation. All right? That's why the doctrine that some teach of infant purity is not true. Because all are under the condemnation of Adam. We've all inherited sin from Adam. And so a little baby in his mother's womb is a sinner by nature before he ever has the opportunity to be a sinner by practice. All right. So the faith, it's important for us to contend, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered by to the saints. All right. So that faith is God's revealed will. This is the body of truth that we need to earnest for which we need to earnestly contend. All right. So when we think about then, faith sometimes is spoken of in Scripture as the faith. Okay? Well, let's see. Let's get back to our parable. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find the faith? Well, let's see. The Bible says, Psalm 12, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou wilt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Sounds like to me God's going to keep the faith available to his people. It's going to be somewhere. It might be translated into Philippine languages. It might be translated into African languages. It might be translated into Indian languages. But it's going to be somewhere because God promised to keep his word for his people. Not only that, but in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. They're going to be here somewhere. Will it be here? Will it be at Piney Grove Church? Will Piney Grove Church even be here when he comes again? We have visitors from other churches this morning. Will he be at your church? Will when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Will he find it there? That's a sobering question. Because you see, the faith of Christ is constant. It'll always be. The faith is constant. It'll always be. But that fruit that he's, that spirit that he's given to us, and the faith that we manifest as a fruit of that spirit, and our ability to adhere to the faith, there's your variable. That's what ebbs and flows. That's what we, that's where we come in. That's where we need to be faithful to God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Don't give up on God. Keep praying. He knows what's best. He knows when to answer. He knows how to answer. He knows what to give you, because he knows what's best. Faith tells us that. Faith within us tells us that. And so let's don't give up on God. Let's keep praying. All right? So the faith which was once delivered to the saints, we need to earnestly contend for that, so that we can be faithful, so that we can be a good example to others, so that we can lead our families in the right way, so that we can stand in our communities and be known as the people of God. See how important that is? What if we decide to leave it off? What if we, what about the, I'm talking to Piney Grove Church, okay? Are we dependent on somebody else to keep the faith so that there'll be a church here when we decide that it rises to the top of our list to come and be here on Sunday? I'm just being honest here. Or are we going to be faithful to take that baton and earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered? And I don't mean just on Sunday morning. I mean every day that we live. We come together on Sunday to worship. We come together to join our hearts and voices in praise and adoration to his name, and then to hear from his word. I hope that we're praying that the Lord would put upon my heart, or whoever's in this pulpit, whoever's standing and taking time to preach the word of God, that we would be praying that God would send the message that this church needs. That's how he set up the church. He set up the church. He calls men to be the pastor of the church, and he feeds them with the word so that they can feed the congregation, the flock, what he has decided we need. Boy, I shudder to think that there might be some folks sitting at home these days going from one Zoom or one Facebook Live to another, looking for a subject that they want to be to hear preached. As the local assembly, we should be praying that the Lord would bless this local assembly to be the kind of light it needs to be in the community, and pray for whoever's preaching, that we might hear what the Lord would have us to hear so that we can be what he would have us to be. Wow. How radical is that? It's important, brethren. It's desperately important. Will he find faith here? Will he find faith? I'm satisfied the answer to that question is yes. He's going to find it somewhere. But will it be here? So he gave this parable. And he told us always to pray and not to faint. When we're a praying people, and asking the Lord to bless us as a body of believers, to be a light in the community, to be a loving people, to be people who are willing to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints, so that we'll be the same thing as we'll contend for the same things that our brethren in centuries past have contended for. You know, we claim to have come down through the apostles, and we can trace our lineage back through groups that were hardly known of in the world, that separated from what eventually became the Catholic Church. All right, I'm just giving you history here. I'm not criticizing anybody. But what eventually, you know, they became through down a number of different names. It doesn't matter what the name is. What matters is, are we contending for the faith which was once delivered to the saints? Brethren, honestly, if we found a people that I felt like was more closely contending for what this word teaches than Primitive Baptists, I'd be interested in knowing what they're all about. I don't know of that people. And I know we've got a lot of faults. We're just people, right? But I want to follow this word. I want to be where this word is preached. I want to be where this word, this faith is being earnestly contended for. And so, the best way to do that is never give up on God. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Keep asking. And he'll show us, each one, young and old, he'll show all of us what he would have us to do each day. And when we're following that path, we're letting some light shine. We're honoring him. We're serving him in the way that would be pleasing to the Lord. So, those passages in Scripture. Oh, by the way, let me get to one more. Where that takes us to, then, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Paul told the church at Corinth, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Examine yourselves. See, that's something you need to do individually. You need to settle in your heart. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Am I following this word? You know, it's been said, some folks take the Bible and they start reading and they'll find something that's something that might be a little hard to take. Some steps on their toes. And so they'll quickly thumb over there to the 23rd Psalm and read that instead of what convicts them. Well, that conviction is there for a purpose. So that we can examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. I mentioned Elder Jeff Winfrey recently, or just earlier, I encourage you to go to his Facebook page and look for a message where he preached on the God of all comfort. If you haven't heard that, he made point. You see, Dawson Springs Church, where he pastors, recently was hit by a tornado and a lot of damage. As a matter of fact, the town was just about leveled. And so those folks have endured a lot of affliction here lately. And so Brother Jeff's point in that message was comfort, God's comfort, doesn't always come in ways that we enjoy. See, we like to think of comfort as something that makes us feel good. Something that we like, something that we want, something that we can just rest. But to get to the kind of comfort that's really good for you, you might have to go through some things that are uncomfortable. Right now, the Dawson Springs Church is enjoying a sweet season of folks that are close to the Lord and seeking the Lord's will. But look what they had to go through for that comfort. Oh, preacher, that's radical. I don't know about that. It's truth. It's truth. Sometimes, oftentimes, the struggles in life are for our good. God not answering our prayers right away can be for your good. There may be other things you need to experience. There may be other things you need to receive. There may be ways that you need to grow. There may be things you need to trim off of your life. But God knows what's best. Do we believe that? Do we trust that? You know, there's a difference in believing and trust. There was a man one time that walked a wheelbarrow across a tight wire, way up in the air. And, well, he asked the question to the crowd, "Do you believe I can do this?" So he walked it across. Then he said, "Do you trust that I can do this?" Yeah. "We trust you that you could do this." He said, "Get in." Get in the wheelbarrow. There's a difference between believe and trust. Do you trust the faithfulness of God? Do you trust that He can still do great things? Do you trust that He can still make mighty works for the blessing of His church in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation? That's Philippians chapter 2, by the way. All right? Do you believe that He can? Do you trust that He can? He gave us this parable so that men would always pray and not faint. Examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. When the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Yes. But where will it be? Will it be here? Will it be here? Will it be in the United States of America? Our response to the Lord will make the decision. It's time for us to take that baton. Maybe you've already done it, but have that renewed zeal to take that baton and run with it as the faithful children of God, letting your light shine, being salt in the earth, that we can glorify our Father, that others may see our good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. May God bless you this week to remember what was preached here. Lay it to heart, and I pray that it'll bring forth much fruit in the days ahead. For Piney Grove Church, for our families, for our communities, of wherever we might be. May God bless you is our prayer.